morning. How's everybody doing? Doing good?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are in our parables series. We're in week number 2. And let's get started in prayer, shall we? Lord, we love you. Thank you for today. I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and that we would learn more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. If this is your first time or this is your 100,000,000th time to church, we are so glad to have you. And I'm going to talk to you guys for about 20, 25 minutes, and then we'll get you out of here to lunch. So I'm excited about what God, I believe, has given me a word for. And today we're going to talk about the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And if I had to put a subtitle on this, I would put this question: what is the condition of your heart? What is the condition of your heart? And really the main topic, the main point of today is talking about our hearts. And I'd like to submit to you today, and I think this is very true, that most of the time we make decisions and we live our life not always based logically, but what we feel and what's going on in our hearts. This last Friday night, I went with my wife, Ashley, and my family. We went to a theater play. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I do not go to many theater plays. And it came up on the calendar. I'm like, what? We're going to a play? I'm like, when did I ever agree to this? Like, why would I ever sign up willingly to go to a play? That's the last thing I want to do. And then I remembered, and if you guys don't know me, I have a bad habit of when I'm in a great mood, I will agree to anything. Oh yeah, we're doing it. Like, let's sign up. Let's buy the tickets now. I'll even recruit people. But when it actually comes to the moment we have to follow through, it's like, I don't want to do that, right? Has anybody ever been there? You make plans with somebody, and then an hour before, you're like, why? What? How can I cancel? What excuse can I come up with not to do this thing, right? And a lot of it is based on your heart. How you're feeling in the moment really dictates what you do, what you decide to do. Me and my wife, we have this other conundrum that we go in. So whenever we are driving home and it's past like 10 p.m., okay, we have this quandary, this problem. It's, should we go to Publix and buy some treats for us? Now, before 10 p.m., we got our budget. We shop at Walmart. We shop at Aldi's. We shop, you know, we no sweets in the house. Like, we're very strict. But after 10 p.m., that heart kind of takes over. And we're like, ugh, we love Moose Tracks. You know, we could get, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? And like, we never even shop at Publix unless it's like after 10 p.m., right? And so, but it's the heart. It's the heart. And it's closed at 10 p.m. So anyway, after dark is when we want to, you know. But the point is, logically, we know, stick to the budget. Don't buy tickets to plays. But when your heart is in it, you're like, yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. So today we're going to look at the parable of the sower, like I said. And this parable is found in 3 of the Gospels. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's in Luke. They're very similar. There's a little bit of nuance difference. I read this whole synopsis of all of them, and they're pretty much all the same. But if you want, you can look them all up. We're going to be looking at the parable in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. And hopefully you'll get from this, if you're not walking with Jesus or you're still getting new to church and new to what we're doing, you'll see that Jesus was a really, really, really interesting person, and that he was not all about people-pleasing. And you can tell he was not trying to start some religion, because some of the things he said and did really almost pushed people away. And so I think Jesus is the most interesting person to ever live. And so we're going to look at him. And I just want to invite you guys that even if you don't believe in Jesus this morning or this is your first time, you need to study this person, Jesus, because it'll change your life. It'll change your life. So let's look at Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. So verse 4, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up or grew, the plants withered because there was no moisture. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. Verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. The other versions say some were 30 times, some were 60 times, and some were 100 times. When Jesus had said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand. The difference between a parable and like an analogy and a metaphor is sometimes Jesus told parables not actually to give us more information. He actually told it to some people to confuse them. Some people, he said, if you have ears, you're going to understand. But if you don't have ears to hear, you're not going to understand. Several times in the Bible, the parables Jesus spoke actually made him less popular and actually pushed people away. And not to get sidetracked too much, but one time he told everybody listening to him and said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And he lost most of his following, right? And so Jesus sometimes said things not to get popularity or create understanding, but to actually check us where we are, check our hearts. So back to the scripture, verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. Okay, so when we were divvying out what parables we're going to preach on, I'm like, I want this one because Jesus explains it in the scripture, right? This is one of the few ones that Jesus gives it, and then he tells us what it means. So my job is very easy today. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Now, the word of God, we know, is the Bible, is the spoken word of God. But also, we know that Jesus is actually the word, right? From John 1:1. Okay, so Jesus is the word. Verse 12, then along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Okay, so let's go to our next slide for all of our pictorial learners out there. So here's a couple big things we're looking at. So the sower in this story, Jesus said, is himself. Jesus is preaching the word of God. He is the sower. So he is giving out his word. He is illuminating scripture. He is talking to people. He is the sower. He's sowing his seed. The seed is the word of God. It's the word of God. The soil, which we're really going to focus on today, is the human heart. Now, some people actually call this the parable not of the sower, but the parable of the soil. So we're going to focus on that part. The soil, your human heart, our human heart. And the enemy is different in each case, but we have the birds, we have the rocky ground, and then we have the thorns. Okay, so the enemy is the devil who comes to steal, or worldly temptations or distractions. Okay, is everybody with me? Okay, good. So, unlike farming we do now, farming back in biblical times was very different. So who here is a farmer? Awesome. Okay, we've got a couple. All right, farming. Okay, so if you're going to farm nowadays, you do things a little differently than they did back then. So nowadays, if you're going to farm, the first thing you do if you have a field is you take out the rocks, you take out the thorns and the weeds, you plow everything, and then the last step is you plant the seed. And then you fertilize it and GMO it. No, I'm just kidding. No, then you pesticide it. No. But anyway, but you put the seed in last. In biblical times, this is what they would do. You would have a farmer, thank you, who would have a big satchel with seed, and he would go around and he would throw seed all over. And sometimes he'd throw it and the wind would take it onto the path, under the rocks, under the thorns. He would throw the seed, And then afterwards, he would bring a plow and he would plow the good soil. So they would put the seed out first and then they would plow afterwards. So it's completely different than what we do today. And I think this is very important. So just remember that as we are talking about this. Who here has ever, I remember growing up, I would have a noble moment, a really good moment. And say, you know, I'm going to bless my family. I'm going to do the dishes, even though no one's asked me to do it. And I'm getting ready. I'm finishing up what else I'm doing. I'm getting the mindset to wash the dishes because I can't just do it. I have to, my heart's got to be right. My soil has to be correct, good soil. I have to be ready to do it. And as I'm about to do it, my mother would yell, not yell, she would talk to me and say, Ben, can you do the dishes? No. I would rather die than do the dishes. Isn't that crazy? And so that just shows my heart. And so this is what Jesus is getting at, is the way your heart is the way you process any information, but more importantly, the really important spiritual things of life. I amaze myself and embarrass myself every day by thinking sometimes during the day, I can do anything. I can talk to anyone. I can listen to anyone. We can conquer the world. And then there are some times I don't want to do anything. I can't wash anything, I can't do anything, I just want to be a couch potato. And I swing throughout the day, and it's so frustrating. But if you catch me in a good moment, we can conquer the world, we can do anything. There's no stranger on the planet, I can talk to anybody, right? And it's all about the state of your heart. So let's dive in to the four different types of soils we looked at. So the first one is the path. Now I think this is maybe a little extra biblical, but I'm the preacher. I'm allowed to stretch a little bit. I think you can actually have all four different at different points. I think you can actually interchange some of them sometimes. But the path was where the farmer walked. And so the path is where everyone walked on top of the seeds. And it says the birds came and ate those seeds. And I think this is, if your heart is not really genuine, you just want to do what everyone else is doing on the path, that's where the predators are. That's where the predators are. If your heart is, I don't really want a commitment to Jesus or the Word myself, I'm just going to do what my friends do, that's where people can use you, abuse you, influence you, make you do all sorts of things, and the devil can come and steal the very word that he's given to you. Now, the problem in this analogy is not the seed. The seed is great. It's the soil. The seed's not the issue. The seed's never been the issue. The sower did not pick. Like, if you're reading this, you should think, why didn't Jesus only put seed on good soil? Why did he put it on everywhere? Right? I think Jesus said that on purpose. He said, the seed's not the problem. It's the soil. So the first one is if you walk where everybody walks, you let people step all over you, you're on the path, that's where predators are. That's where the devil can come and steal right away whatever God is trying to do in your life. Number two, we have the rocks or the dry places. And I believe this is when in your heart you make a superficial, surface level conversion or commitment to follow Jesus. And basically what you're saying is, I'll go to church, I'll do all this surface stuff, I may even give a little money, give a little time, but I'm not willing to let the seed of the Word of God go into my heart. And I'm not really willing to deal with my childhood trauma. I'm not willing to deal with the hurt and the pain that has happened to me and that I've caused on others. I'm not really willing to walk under lordship. You're not letting the Word of God sink into your heart. And I think we've all struggled with this from time to time, where, you know what, this Sunday, I just need to get into church and get out and eat some lunch, right? We've all been there. Instead of letting the Word of God hit your heart. We've all had devotions like that, where we pick up the Bible, hopefully, and you read 3 chapters, and you close it, check mark, but you can't remember one thing you read. It's all surface level. It's all surface. And the problem with that, if there's no nutrients and there's no good soil deep down in your heart, nothing's going to grow.
Right.
Nothing's going to grow. And it may sprout up for one high school camp, for one men's conference, for one Bible study, for one spring break, for one Christmas time, but then it'll boof. Right? It'll die. Number 3 is the thorns. Now, this is really interesting because the thorns was actually good soil, but there were other things in the soil besides the Word of God. This is where people, they get genuinely have a relationship with Jesus. It starts growing. The roots are going deep. There's good soil. There's nutrients. The soil has accepted the seed and given the seed the nutrients it needs to grow. But somewhere along the way, distractions, money, peer pressure, getting married, jobs, comes in and distracts. And then the soil has to give nutrients to both the thorns and the weeds, but also the good seed. And this is what probably I get tempted with the most, is that other things in my life besides what God's trying to do through His Word, I will give that nutrients. I will spend my resources and energy on that, and it will actually choke out what God's trying to do. And this is what I think a lot of people struggle with today in church, is we're saved. We love the Lord. We've accepted the Word. But now our children or our mortgage or whatever comes in and tries to distract us and choke out what God's trying to do. And we make compromises, and we don't realize that sometimes it's not only sin that can hurt us, it's distractions. Distractions are just as bad, well, not just as bad, but they're bad.
Right.
Very bad. Yeah, good things that aren't God things.
Right.
Right? Family is good, but it's not an ultimate thing. Making money is good, but it's not an ultimate thing. The ultimate thing is the Word of God. And another little fun fact about Ben, you're going to get some fun facts today. I typically go in phases of things I become slightly obsessed over, right? And then the algorithm on my phone figures it out and feeds me that, and then I stay obsessed for like 2-3 weeks, and then I'll change, right? So whether it's like a certain type of workout or a certain type of diet or a certain type of financial investing or a certain type of home improvements, right? Or a certain type of whatever, or, you know, this political movement or whatever. I'll just become obsessed with it, and then I'll change, right? And it just shows me that there's still thorns in my life, that I need God. I need the gardener to come and get these out. Does that make sense? And I think if we're all honest, every single person here has kind of an idea what they should do, but there's other things that are getting in the way of what you should be doing. Whether you love Jesus, you're saved, or this is your first time. I think that's a fair assessment. Number 4 is the good soil. The good soil. This lets the Word of God go deep, but not only lets the Word go deep, it's open to getting plowed. It's open to getting weeded. I think receiving the seed on good soil is not enough, because sometimes when God gives you the Word, a truth bomb hits you, then He will literally plow your heart, turn everything up, prune you, and it feels ugly. It doesn't feel good. You don't feel like you're growing. it feels like more things are dying than growing, but that's part of being the good soil. And in farming, you don't just sow seed one time. You sow seed every single year. You let your ground rest every once in a while, but you sow seed all the time. And so being good soil is not, I'm good soil, my heart's fine. It's no. You receive the word, you've given it nutrients, you've accepted it, you're putting energy and time, you're letting the seed grow in your life, and then here comes this massive intrusion of plowing that's going to turn up and change the very dynamic of who you are. And sometimes it's very painful before it gets awesome. So being good soil can be very tough. Can be very, very tough. So hopefully today you guys are seeing a picture of what God really wants is he's really after our heart. We know Jesus is going to do his job. He's going to sow the seed. We know the seed is jam-packed with everything we need. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is us, the soil. It's the soil. What type of soil do you have? Are you constantly letting yourself be plowed and pruned? Are you constantly giving your nutrients not to thorns, but to the good seed, which is the word of God, right? And you could spin this parable to now we have to be farmers and go sow seed, and we have to share the word, and which we do, but Jesus doesn't talk about that. He talks about each person persevering and bearing fruit, which is very different, right, than being a sower. So sometimes God wants us not to think, I'm going to get on stage and I'm going to get to sow seed, but no, I'm just going to get the seed planted in me, I'm going to get plowed, and I'm going to do my best to persevere and let the fruit come naturally in my life. Does that make sense? And fruit looks very different for everybody. When I was young, I used to think fruit meant this or a big ministry or this or that. But now I realize that fruit sometimes can almost be more, even more internal than external. Sometimes fruit, one of the best fruits you can have is just the ability to endure and persevere year after year after year after year, faithfully serving Jesus, loving Jesus. That's one of the best fruits I think you can have. So let's get practical. How do we cultivate our heart or our soil? How do we prepare ourselves for when the seed comes, not just for salvation, but when you hear the word of God, when God gives you something new, how do you prepare your heart to receive it and then persevere and bear fruit? So three quick things. The first one is number one, we need to avoid sin and worldliness. You know, sometimes when you watch like a bunch of a TV show, that's not necessarily bad, but it's just not very edifying. Right. And then you feel like, ugh, you just feel yuck, yeah. Right? Okay, and when you do that, you're not preparing your heart for what God wants to do. And sometimes, like I said before, it's not always sin. Sometimes it's just worldliness. Mm-hmm. Just being worldly. Just allowing thorns. And so sometimes I believe we have to do our part in killing the thorns in our own life, right? We have to do our part of saying, no, nothing's going to grow on me except for the word of God. So we can avoid sin and worldliness. And one of the things about sin and worldly things is it actually hardens your heart. When you sin, and the Bible says it sears your conscience, which means it burns, it hardens your conscience. You know, when you were a kid and you saw something crazy, you like that, like affected you for a month, and now you can see it every day and you don't even feel it? Maybe because your heart has been hardened because you're too friendly with sin, because there's too many distractions in your life, right? Because maybe you're not a bad person, there's just worldliness in your life, right? And the whole point of this is I'm not trying to tell you what to do and not to do, but I'm saying if you want to persevere, if you want fruit to grow in your life, you have to have a heart that will cultivate soil and keep your heart tender before God. Number two is we must learn to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. It amazes me, myself and I, how much I can be so nonchalant with God. Have you ever caught yourself just kind of taking God for granted, taking the word of God for granted? And it's like, yes, there is freedom in Jesus, praise God, but I think our church, every church, could do with a huge dose of the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Have you ever thought about this? And if you've never read this story in the Bible, we don't have time to go to it today, but for those who do know, did you know that the devil, Lucifer, was actually one of the angels originally in heaven, and he played before the very throne of God, and he worshiped and was in God's presence? Why did Lucifer, who got to behold the glory of God in all of his majesty, in all of his righteousness, for who knows how long, how did he fall? I think it was a heart issue. I don't think he feared the Lord. Right? How did Adam and Eve, who walked with God, it says in the Bible, every single night were in the presence of Almighty God, how did they fall? I don't think they feared the Lord. There was not a holy reverence in saying, I don't want ever to be nonchalant. I want to fear and reverence the Lord. This very morning, I was practicing, cultivating, fearing the Lord in my devotion. And I was treating the Lord with reverence and respect. And it was the craziest thing. After I'd been doing that, I felt the Lord bring me into his love. And I felt intimacy. But we need to cultivate in our own life a fear for the Lord. Not, you know what, that Netflix show, it's not terrible. I'll just watch it and see what happens. Or, you know what, I probably shouldn't do that, but you know what, God will forgive me, it's okay. Or, you know, I can miss my devotion today. I can miss church today. You know, I kind of feel led to give a little bit of money, or I kind of feel led to serve on that team, but I'll get them next time. Just a nonchalant. Or, yeah, I'll read my Bible tonight. You know, I'll listen to it on the way to work. It's a nonchalant. It's not reverence. It's not fear of the Lord. It's not the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, we know, is the beginning of wisdom. We must fear the Lord, number two. Number three, we must remain faithful to Jesus. Remain faithful to Jesus. I think the people that not just receive Jesus, receive the word, and actually make it to the end, I think are the ones whose heart is right, but they cultivate a faithfulness towards the person of Jesus every single day. They approach it from a long game perspective. Not, if I don't read my Bible today, I'm going to die, but more of a, I need to build a long-lasting, faithful relationship with Jesus. Did you know that faithfulness, nobody's born with that. It must be cultivated and grown. It's a skill we develop. Discipline to do the right thing is a skill that we develop. And unfortunately, we live in a culture that if you don't like something or not good at something, there's a million other things you can do. Instead of saying, you know what, I have decided I'm going to stick with this till the day I die. And even if the growing is slow and it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere, I'm decided I'm going to be disciplined and I'm going to let God build faithfulness in my life. Build faithfulness. That's why coming up to the altar and just praying a prayer doesn't really do a whole lot unless God gets your heart, makes you alive, and you decide, I'm not just going to be good soil now, I'm going to be good soil for the rest of my life. And I'm going to remain faithful to Jesus. Remain faithful to Jesus. Now, I definitely could not end this sermon without this really, really encouraging thought. And David said it in the Psalms. He said, Lord, take my heart of stone, give me a heart of flesh. So we do have to work. We do have to cultivate our own hearts. But Jesus knows without him, we're all bad soil. So he gives us the ability to cultivate our soil. He gives us a brand new heart. He says, I know there's thorns. I know there's predators. I know there's a lack of moisture. It's rocky. but I'm going to change your heart, and I'm actually going to give you the grace not only to receive the seed of the word, but to let it produce fruit in your life. Jesus gives us a new heart. And for many of you today, that's really what getting saved, born again means, is when Jesus gives you that new heart. That's why when Jesus said, those who have ears, let them hear, what he was saying was those who I allow to hear, or I give the grace to hear, are going to hear. And I believe that just like the sower cast his seed everywhere, I believe that everyone has the opportunity, by the grace of God, to get their heart transformed and enter into relationship with him, become good soil, and accept the seed of the word. But I believe we can also resist. And so today, if this is your first time, or you've been, you know what, I like church, I like Jesus, this is great, but I don't think in my own strength, I don't have the ability to make my heart, cultivate my heart. I need a heart transplant. I think today's for you.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to leave today with a little different. We're going to leave with that second song. So worship team, come on up, please. And I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to leave with a little bit of praise. So Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the parables that you gave us. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone in here that would say, you know what? I know a little bit about Jesus, but I need a heart transplant. I need to be forgiven of my sins. I need to repent, and I need to follow Jesus. If there's anyone in here today, I pray that you would just tap them on the shoulder with your spirit, and you would let them know today's the day. If there's anyone else in here who says, you know what? I do have good soil. I have accepted the seed, but I'm struggling. I feel like I'm on a rocky patch, or I feel like there's thorns in my life, or I feel like there's predators trying to come steal the seed, or I feel like the Lord's trying to plow an area of my heart, and I'm resisting it. If there's anyone in there who's dealing with that, I pray that, Lord, you would help them and touch them and be with them and give them the strength and empower them, Lord, to cultivate their heart, that you would give them the fruits of the Spirit, that goodness would start coming from them, that they would have the desire to seek you, they'd have the desire to be used by you. And Lord, we just pray against all the distractions in the name of Jesus. We pray against anything that would come against this church and what you're doing here. And we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. All right. Well, we're done. So if you would all stand with me, please. We're just going to leave with some praise. But thank you so much. If you need prayer, you can stay around after the worship. We're going to have some of our staff up the front. We'd love to pray with you. But if not, after we're done singing, you are free to go. Thank you.